As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
Guys, Piotr's dropping a Christmas album. Guess what he's calling it? Just guess. The Nutcracker Suite. I'm serious. Oh my God, I'm never dating another musician again. Nutcracker Suite. Yeah, I definitely hear that being played every Christmas for centuries. Oh my God, should we? Okay. Oh my God. Oh my God, this one is about me. I'm gonna call it.
Good morning, Sweet World, and welcome to the No Dunks Podcast on the Athletic Network. It's Monday, December 11th, 2023. I'm J.E. Skeets here in the Classic Factory, and alongside me, as always, Tass Mellis.
Hey, basketball lovers, this one's for you.
Next to Tass, it's the bearded one, Matasha Hotboy, Trey Kirby.
Heyo.
Heyo. And over yonder, the man making the magic happen. Don't you dare give him a gift card. It's JD.
Hello.
There he is, and here we are. You gotta fire up the latest Is This Good podcast with Matty O and JD and guests. And JD just went off on the idea of using a gift card.
Yeah.
You're a madman. You don't like to do it.
I find it embarrassing. That's all. As I say on the show, it's the opposite of badass. Here's my Starbucks gift card.
I mean, cash is the coolest. No doubt about it.
That's true. I was laughing on the way into the factory here today listening to that. So go check that out. ITG. Shout out to the stream team. Do your likes. Do your comments. Make sure you subscribe. Tell your friends, podcast listeners. Leave us a 5-star rating and review. It's Monday. We do winners and losers of the NBA weekend. I think we can just all agree on the Lakers winning the first ever NBA Cup as a big winner. We were on playback on Saturday night. AD really leading the Lakers' task to the NBA in-season tournament title. 123-109 over the Pacers. I don't think we need to do 30 minutes on this game, but your thoughts on the Lakers winning this whole thing and that game in particular?
It was a very good game. I was a little surprised, actually, that it went basically down to the wire. It was a one-point game midway through the fourth. I thought it was over when Anthony Davis hurt himself. It was in the third quarter. Something pulled in his groin area. He talked to a trainer. He talked to Coach Darvin Ham and said, I guess I'm going to play through it. He came back a minute later after being removed from the game. What a game. That was ridiculous for him to have 41, 25 assists and 4 blocks. He had his highest scoring quarter in the fourth after coming back from that groin injury, 14 points. It was cool for us, because it's just really two different teams. You had one team just banging in the paint, 43 baskets in the paint, 86 points in the paint for the Lakers, while the other team shot threes, because the Lakers didn't need threes in this game.
No.
They only hit two. It was just a great defense where they said, you know what, AD, LeBron, Austin Reeves, you guys are going to have to score because the other guys are going to play defense. Cam Reddish, you don't need to score. Just go at Tyrese Haliburton. Go over those picks. Him and Jared Vanderbilt, who came off the bench, did a great job on Haliburton. So a fun makeup of that team, because they dropped Austin Reeves to the bench for Cam Reddish, doing a good job out there. And fun for the other team. We went down to the wire, although it does look like a big
turns into
Lakers
a blowout at the end. Yeah, but it was close there in the fourth. We almost had ourselves a game. Maybe the Southern lawyer was about to show up.
We almost had ourselves a game.
Yes, but AD dominating Miles Turner, definitely one of the storylines from this. TK, and anything else you wanted to add?
I mean, 86 points in the paint is ridiculous. Two threes for the Lakers. They didn't make their first one till the end of the third quarter. We're watching on playback saying, is this going to be the first time a team has won a game without a made three? And it would have been the first in quite some time. But man, that was a perfect Anthony Davis game. He went into it telling teammates, you've never seen me in a game seven. This is me in a game seven. Technically a game one and a game seven all at the same point. You can't find these stats anywhere. I was looking for them on Basketball Reference.
They don't exist, man.
It's not on the Lakers page. I thought maybe I'd be able to sneak in through the back door. Anthony Davis's game logs, not there either, but he was dominant in this one. Offensively, defensively, posing with his faces as well. The Lakers were carried by LeBron, AD, and Austin Reeves. Reeves, I thought, was pretty special in the second quarter. Too many fouls, I would say, in general in this game, but a fun watch for sure.
Yeah, my favorite nickname coming out of this game is definitely Neutral Court AD. Now, it doesn't roll off the tongue, but when you think about this guy on neutral courts, he's a monster. Go back to like the NCAA Finals, the bubble, of course, and now Vegas playing on that crazy court there on the in-season tournament. He's just a monster when it's neutral court time. But yeah, what a game. Dominated Miles Turner. I mean, Miles Turner got in foul trouble. He only played 25 minutes. He only scored 10 points on 11 shots. And he had been really, really important, obviously, to the Pacers' run, along with Tyrese Halliburton, who they did a great job, I thought, of keeping in check. You know, you said Jared Vanderbilt, his length, causing some troubles for Halliburton. And then when he would get screens, you know, you got other good defenders coming in off that screen. If it's a 1-5 switch, it's Anthony Davis, one of the best, you know, defenders in the league. Torian Prince saw him. And then Cam Reddish, when he was on him, he just did the whole, like, I'm just going to pick you up full court. I'm just going to try and prevent you from getting the ball on the inbounds. Just tire your ass out. And we saw Halliburton have three turnovers in this IST Finals. Now, they don't count. They don't exist.
That's right.
But, you know, he had the two games prior to that where he didn't have one. So great job, I just thought, from the Lakers, the game plan, and just all the lengthy wings along with AD that they could just throw on a guy like Halliburton.
This is why they're supposed to be good. They got a lot of long guys. Yeah, no under the picks. You got to fight over that pick, Cam Reddish, and he did a great job. It was fun to watch.
The Pacers tried in the second half, like, wisely to, like, okay, they're really locking him up here because we have Halliburton on the ball so much. Let's bring McConnell in and sort of have him play off the ball. But I think that's all automatically like a win for the Lakers. It's like, yeah, now Halliburton doesn't have the ball. I mean, I respected Rick Carl for trying it. And again, it was sort of close there for a bit, but just a great game defensively from the Lakers. LeBron James wins the first ever in-season tournament MVP. We were thinking it was going to AD with the monster 41-20 and 5 and 4 blocks in the finals, but in the end, they looked at the tournament play from LeBron. Maybe love the idea of LeBron winning the IST MVP, and I just went to a vote, and we got something on that a little bit later, but were you upset? Were you shocked? Were you surprised at all that LeBron got it? No, didn't think
Not
so.
At all. I mean, AD was certainly the MVP of the championship game. He dominated that one, but you heard Adam Silver during the post-game celebration say, this is for the entirety of the tournament. Yeah. He slipped it in there just to remind people that the voting counts for everything. And LeBron was special.
Yeah.
Throughout the tournament, the Lakers were the best team here, undefeated. They won every game by like 20 points, basically. And LeBron was really good until Anthony Davis was the man in the championship. But I think you're right, Skeets. A little bit of giving the in-season tournament some historical credibility by having LeBron win the first MVP. So, you know, if they keep this thing going for 30 years, we look back and be like, hey, LeBron won the very first one. You remember that? And then us old guys will be like, yeah, but Anthony Davis had 41-20. You can't find the stats anywhere, but trust me, it happened. That'll be going down. But, I mean, it's not like LeBron didn't deserve it. Davis just should have gotten, like, maybe a second medal or something for how good he was in the championship.
A bigger medal.
Yeah.
Yeah, in tournament play, LeBron averaged nearly 27 points per game, 8 boards, 7 assists, shot 57% from the field, if we round up a little bit, and 60% on threes. That's across the undefeated run there from the Lakers. So if you're looking at the entire thing, of course, it's a warranted win here from LeBron. It's just like, I think some people are like, hold on, AD was a monster. What happened there? anyway, who cares really?
Yeah, those are, I guess those are other regular season games, so people would say who cares, or maybe we didn't look at the Lakers regular season games, those in-season tournament games, but LeBron was clearly the better guy.
Yeah.
Anthony Davis had a bunch of in-the-teens scoring games, so they didn't match up. You add up 41 to 17 and 16 and 17 and 16. LeBron was way better. LeBron deserved He did deserve it. It was key to get them to the finals the way they did. They looked fantastic, and obviously Anthony Davis was special in this one. But LeBron was doing a lot of things. He wants to own a team in that city, so he felt good. He was talking a lot. Pretty good job on the mic'd up of him and Haliburton. They did that a lot.
Yeah,
more so than any playoff game I've ever heard. They would just go back to it over and over and over again. And so that was pretty good. But LeBron was jacked.
We find out today the all-tournament team. They didn't announce it.
What? Come on.
After Saturday night. They didn't announce it on Sunday. We're getting
weird,
it.
Weird, yeah.
We're getting it. We might get it mid-show, for all I know. I mean, it's going to be LeBron, Haliburton, AD.
Yep.
A lot of people think Giannis will be there, and then it's really that fifth guy. I mean, Trey, you did a great job last week trying to sort of predict who it would be. And I don't know. Did Miles Turner play his way off of that all-tournament team?
Did not have a great championship game.
It's possible. But we'll see. We'll find out here soon enough. There was other things going on the NBA weekend. So let's do a batch or two of winners of the NBA weekend. Really looking at Friday night, if we're being honest. If we're removing that Saturday night IST finals. Who you got, though, Hess?
I'm going to mention the Houston Rockets because they're playing for their coach, Ime Udoka. If you remember, since we're talking about LeBron, a few games ago, Ime Udoka got into it with LeBron. They yelled at each other. Ime Udoka was tossed from the game. Since then, two straight wins, two good wins for the Rockets. OKC and then at Denver. They beat Denver for the third time this season. How does that happen? I don't know, but they've played them four times already. I didn't think it was going to happen watching this game. It is weird.
That's amazing.
Yeah, because this in-season tournament thing happened.
They've played 1 month in a bit of basketball. They've played
all of their games? Incredible.
I don't know. But some teams actually are going to end up playing the teams that they played in the in-season tournament five times.
Yeah.
LA is going to play, the Lakers are going to play Phoenix five times.
Bucks
season.
And Knicks, I think, too.
Just because.
Yeah, the Knicks also get the Sixers five times, I think.
Yeah.
They got it the worst.
That definitely stinks. Yeah. I didn't think they were going to beat Denver because I was watching, and Dylan Brooks does this weird thing all the time pregame where he stands on the sideline. He kind of looks into the crowd, and it's kind of like he's looking to abyss. He's just staring. He's just, for a full minute, he does not move. And Jamal Murray, his Canadian bro, joined him. And so I thought, oh, Jamal Murray's going to torch this guy. But Dylan Brooks did a really good job during the game and stopping him. Ime Udoka just plays his vets so much. That's an interesting thing to me because Jalen Green was having a really good game through three quarters. He had 25 in this game. But Udoka went to Fred VanVleet, the guy who's played second most minutes in the league in the fourth quarter, just relying on him. Jabari Smith went to the bench for Jeff Green because Ime Udoka was playing his old guys. They're up 25 early in the fourth, and Denver went on to an 18-0 run. So it looked like Denver might come back. The last 9 minutes, Houston just hit shots from the free throw line. They didn't make a basket on the floor. Really, really strange. Denver kind of imploded after that, though. Michael Porter Jr. had a tech.
Yeah.
Peyton Watson missed a layup, and then Jamal Murray got a second tech, and he got tossed from the game. But really, I wanted to talk about Houston because they're above 500. They won their first game on the road.
Yeah.
Good for them. They're respected, but I really just want to talk about Nikola Jokic because he kind of looks like Jokic from the first few seasons of his career. Sometimes good, sometimes not good. Two games in a row, coming off his worst shooting game of his career, 9 of 32. He had another one, 9 of 26. This is a Jokic slump. It may just last two games, but he's coming to Atlanta tonight, and so he might just give it to the Hawks. I can't wait. will he have three games in a row? I don't know. I don't know what it is. Maybe it's Aaron Gordon not being himself. He looks unlike himself. He's having his worst season. They can't just rely on him. Jokic is having to shoot more and more. Again, 26 and 32, that's too many shots, actually, when you think about Jokic. That's way too many for a regular season game. But pretty cool. The Rockets are something to watch, though, because, like we said, first road win of the season. They don't play Cam Whitmore whatsoever. at all. Amen Thompson is back after missing 15 games from an ankle injury. So I wonder if they go to their young guys more, because Ime Udoka just likes playing the oldies a lot. So that's the interesting thing to me.
Why would you think they would go to the young guys then? Yeah. He likes to win, I imagine.
Working. Yeah.
And it's like, yeah, they've been pretty good. But they want that balance with their young guys and then their vets. That's the tough part.
I know they signed Fred, but he's playing like, you know, almost 40 minutes a game. That's a lot.
That's what Freddie does.
Yeah, and then he doesn't have good fourth quarters. So that's what happens. You've got really athletic young guys. It's very interesting to see what happens there.
All right, let's move to you here, Trey. Who you got for a winner of the weekend?
Brooklyn Nets get a winner of the weekend. They took care of business against the Wizards, 124-97 blowout, really a second half blowout for the Nets. Three straight wins, though, for Brooklyn. They've won six out of their last seven. They're basically doing it by playing defense. They've held opponents under 110 in five of these six wins. 110 is a gigantic number, but it's like it's the new what's his name? Lawler's Law. It's the new Lawler's Law. First to 110 wins. Only 97 though for the Wizards. Not a great scoring team. Also held the Heat earlier on to 97 as well at the start of this little patch they're going on here. Their bigs, I thought, were really good in this game. Nick Claxton had 13 points, 15 rebounds, a couple of blocks. De'Ron Sharp, 15 points, 11 rebounds, and even Harry the Dentist Giles got 8 points in 5 minutes in this one. 76 points in the paint, though. For the Nets, they're looking all right now. You know, they're finally over 500. They're basically in a tie with the Knicks right now, going on a 5-game West Coast road trip that starts tonight, though. They've got the Kings, Suns, Nuggets, Warriors, and Jazz.
Oh, wow.
That's a tough schedule, yeah. No doubt about it. But if they can go 2-3, I think that would be fair. 3-2, that's a great trip for the Nets. So they've figured some things out here. Their defense is starting to tick up. And they're actually getting some decent performances from a guy like Mikal Bridges. Cam Thomas is back and scoring well. Yep. They've got a lot of people who can score the basket ball. They may not have, like, the number one star out there, but they've got a good team. It's very much like the Nets that got everybody excited before they made the Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving moves.
Yeah. Imagine they did that again.
Yeah, let's just
run it back. Try to do it.
Yeah, Donovan Mitchell, come on down.
Nets, any thoughts on them here?
Yeah, I think Mikal Bridges is being focused on giving the ball a little bit more, just being the guy, and he's been super efficient recently. Harry Giles, it's great to see him on a basketball team. Why is he called the dentist? I didn't know.
He said if he wasn't a basketball player, he would have been a dentist. Imagine having like a 6'10" dentist. Yeah. Those hands going in your mouth.
No, towering over you.
I wouldn't like that. I actually wouldn't like my dentist to be named Dr. Giles. No. I don't want
That's
a
like
Giles.
Smiles. Dr. Smiles. Smiles. Yeah. Giles Smiles.
That's pretty good. He should go back and
put it on a t-shirt, Jamie.
Oh, man. Okay, so the Rockets, Nets. Let's keep going here because we got lots. Winner of the weekend to De'Aaron Fox. I'll focus on a guy here. Star Fox scored 23 of his game-high 34 points in the fourth quarter to lead the Kings over the Suns, 114-106. This is Friday night, of course. Now, no Durant, no Beal. Beal, by the way, coming back on Tuesday, apparently. But still, Fox was struggling through the first three quarters, 5 of 15. He didn't even get to the free throw line. And then in the final frame, 6 of 9 from the floor, 3 of 3 from deep, and 8 of 10 at the line. I just love when Fox has it going offensively in all facets, right? He's scoring at the rim. He's scoring in the paint. He's getting to the line, and then he's hitting the three, and that's what he did in the fourth quarter there. De'Aaron Fox is averaging 30.5 points per game. I know he missed a couple, so you know maybe he hasn't played as much as some of these guys at the top of the scoring leaderboard, but still, that's a career high easily. You almost start to wonder, should this guy be in the MIP conversation? 25 last year, if he's kept up 30, that's something else. But big win in the Western Conference for the Kings because they improved to 12-8, and the Suns dropped to 12-10. These two teams are going to be jockeying for position, I think. And a wild note from Ghostface Tom Ziller. Sacramento 6-0 against the five teams above them in the West standings. They have a combined 5 losses to the Rockets and Pelicans. So just weird stuff here from the Kings, but doing really well against those, you know, upper teams in the West. So I just thought Fox deserves some love here, and he has this takeover mentality at times, and this was a monster game. 23 in the fourth.
And he's still at 37% from three on the season. Fantastic. So like that's the biggest improvement for him. He's quick enough to get by literally anybody. Yeah. So if the three is dropping, he's just impossible to guard, and that's why he's at 30 a game.
Yep. Let's do another round here, Tass. Who else you got on your winners of the weekend list?
Well, Bronny James made his debut for USC. USC fans have been waiting for this. They've been waiting a month. He finally came off the bench, and they were giving him a standing ovation as he came off the bench. LeBron, Papa, was sitting courtside as Bryan James made his debut since suffering cardiac arrest last year. And pregame, he looked good. He looked great. He looked like LeBron with some huge jams. But there, he's on a minutes restriction, so he came off the bench, and he looked good. I mean, he had a huge chase down block, so he did look like LeBron early on, and got another standing ovation when he hit his first three. He only played 60 minutes, but he was defensive. 4 3 boards, 2 assists, and a big steal. So just a head nod, a cheer that everybody was giving him. They were basically surrounding the stadium because they were so fun. They had a moment where they held hands around the stadium, like a circular holding the hands, because they like to see Bryan James back. So cool to them.
And he looked all right. I mean, the highlights are like, holy crap. The one block was like, whoa, yeah, that looks like that. Yeah. Seen that before. So very cool to have him back. And, of course, LeBron in attendance there coming in. I saw him coming in, you know, to the courtside seats, gave him a little tap there from the back.
A little booty tap.
Pops is here, and then he's on his camera recording everything. That always makes me laugh. It's like there's a million cameras and videographers recording every single move from this guy, but everybody's got to have their own, you know?
He's going to show him that video later. Yeah, I like how he didn't talk to media. You'd think people would ask him. You're seeing your son play for the first time. How's it feel? But I like how he didn't any of that.
He's going to try as much as possible to, like, yeah, it's his moment and his career, but it's going to be always difficult to – especially if they're on the same team come the NBA.
Is LeBron James, so maybe he would just talk to some media just because. Yeah. But I'm glad he decided not to.
Trey, who else you got for winner of the weekend?
Beef purveyors worldwide, at least nationwide. It was a huge weekend for Big Beef. Obviously, Anthony Davis got the limited edition Big Montana. 41 points, 20 boards in the IST final, gone forever. Somebody will have a 40 and 20 in an elimination game, and they'll be like, it's only happened 4 times in NBA history, because they won't be able to find that Anthony Davis one, but we will remember. Rudy Gobert also got his second Big Beef of the season, 16 points, 20 boards, and 6 blocks in a win over the weekend. 9 offensive rebounds, 6 straight wins for the Timberwolves, and that's even with Anthony Edwards missing most of this win. Yeah. His hip is still bothering him, but the Timberwolves have not missed a beat, even with Ant out. And then Victor Wembanyama is our final beefer of the weekend, 21 points, 20 rebounds, and 4 blocks. Youngest player in league history with a 20-20 under his belt. What? Dwight Howard, the only other teenager with a 20-20 game, and also the only 18-year-old with a 20-rebound game in NBA history. But the Spurs lost. They've lost now 16 straight, and the Bulls have won 4 straight.
Yeah.
So a minor winner goes to Coby White. 24 points, 6 assists, 5 threes in the win against San Antonio. He's at 24, 6-6, shooting 47% and 52 from 3 during these 4 games that the Bulls have actually pulled some wins here.
And you said all of last season, the Bulls never strung together a 4-game win streak.
First time since 2022.
Wow. Yeah. Okay, congrats to the Bulls. Congrats to all those Big Beef boys.
Good job, Big Beef boys.
How many Big Beefs are we at this season in total? Does that give us up to 7 or so?
Let me check the stats here. Let me check the archive. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Julius Randle was our first beefer. 4 in December, though.
Okay.
4 from December 6th through December 9th. That's pretty impressive.
Wow, the beef picking up.
Yeah. Holiday
beefs.
Yeah,
the weather gets colder. You feel like...
throw
more meat.
Braise it, yeah.
Exactly. We had a lot of big beefs at our Christmas party on Friday.
There was
night.
A lot of beefs rolling out.
A lot. I mean, we had lots of options. It was a fixed menu that you had to pick from. But I would say, I mean, did anybody not order the beef?
There was a couple of small salmons.
Oh, okay.
But a lot of big beefs as well.
A lot of beefs out there. And it was good. All right, final NBA weekend winner to ESPN's Andrea Carter. Who? And why? You might be wondering. Well, Kawhi Leonard, on Friday night, he scored a season-high 41 points to lead the Clippers to the win over the Jazz. He shot 14 of 23. He was 6 of 8 from deep, and he made all of his free throws. But after the game, ESPN's Carter got Kawhi to crack a smile, talking about his insane three-point floater that he had, one of those makes from deep. It was like, you know, at the end of a shot clock, and it was wild. And she got him to smile right at the end. She says, "You'll have kids practicing that one-hand runner." And for whatever reason, that got the robot Kawhi to crack those pearly whites. Harry Giles is loving it. Maybe have him in. And so, yes, Andrea Carter. Good job. It was a good post-game interview. I like she started with the three-point shooting, and then she went back to it. Maybe that's what got him to finally smile there. But an awesome game from Kawhi. Like, that was the most Kawhi he's looked, I would say, this entire season. And the Clippers are, you know, stringing together a lot of victories here.
I wonder if he's going to get his hair cut for the holidays. They look long beside those teeth. Yeah, just on the sides. They just look big.
Mm.
He hasn't got a haircut in a long time ago.
He's letting it go. Yeah, he's feeling it. Any other winners from either of you guys?
Clippers have won 8 of their last 11.
There you go.
Ty Lue said, give me 10 games, and then we'll see what's happening. And the Clippers are good.
They're playing defense.
15th on offense, and they're 5th in defense right now. And the main thing is that Kawhi is, like, taking the most shots on the team and looking like Kawhi Leonard. Though, I will say the Jazz, not great options for guarding Kawhi Leonard. It was mostly John Collins, and that guy should be a center, not a three, I don't think.
Yes, that's probably fair.
Well, during that interview, Kawhi said, they did us a favor by not having Lauri Markkanen out there.
Yeah.
He wasn't even asked. He wasn't even asked about the Jazz lineup, and he just said,
thanks,
we're going to win.
He was in a good mood, Kawhi, after that game. I guess going for 41 will do that. All right, those are our winners of the NBA weekend, along with our thoughts on the IST final, but let's hear from you. I know we left a lot of meat on the bone.
We didn't.
No, we didn't.
Not on Friday night.
And you didn't leave a single fry on your plate.
I was regretting it. I was regretting it over the weekend, but my plate was clean, as was my conscience.
Nice, nice. All right, we'll be right back after this break with the losers of the NBA weekend. Don't go anywhere.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
I'm going to start saying Merry Cha-Ching to people.
And a Merry Cha-Ching to you as well.
Sort of sounds fun, actually.
Cha-Ching season.
Okay, we've done winners of the NBA weekend. Let's pivot. Let's do losers. Tass, who's at the top of your naughty list here?
Golden State Warriors, because they had a bit of a deja vu against OKC. A few weeks ago, we remember Chet Holmgren hit a huge three, a tie game, going into that buzzer at the end of regulation. Yeah. So they go into overtime. They beat Golden State. They also had some discussions. Hey, maybe we should have fouled him, so maybe he goes to the free throw line. Flash forward. Friday, OKC inbounding, down three, and 8 seconds left, Draymond Green kind of went for the steal. And he was just a little out of place. Chet caught it, and Draymond Green fouled him too late. If he didn't go for that steal, maybe the foul puts him on the floor. But Chet was shooting. He goes to the free throw line, hits all three. They win in overtime. It's also kind of a deja vu because of how they turned it over. They had 29 turnovers against OKC on Friday, the most ever in the Coach Kerr era. The last two were Curry throwing a horrendous pass, just no reason, and Draymond Green throwing it into the crowd. So they're doing some things that they've been doing recently. They blew a 24-point lead to Sacramento. Late turnovers, just throwing it around, same thing. And other turnovers causing them to blow other leads. They blew a 22-point lead against the Clippers, and then they've blown a 14- and 18-point lead to OKC in two games. If they win those games, they don't give up those huge, huge leads. They're 14-8. They are now 10-12 after starting 5-1. It's a roller coaster. They are at the bottom of this roller coaster. They're relying on the vets to just figure things out. Sometimes they do. Sometimes they absolutely do not. They're fighting through it. They're absolutely fighting through it, and they're playing Jonathan Kuminga to join the old guys. But they just can't not turn it over. Yeah. At times. And they just kind of give up on when they have big leads. So that's very strange to see that.
Feels like the turnover issue has been sort of one thing that's always plagued this team, even throughout the dynasties. It's like when they just get loosey-goosey with it or just make weird decisions, and that can come back to bite them in the ass. But yeah, I didn't realize they had blown that many games already this season. I know a 15-point lead really isn't much anymore, but still, when you're getting up into the 20s, that counts for a little bit.
Yeah, this one was 14. No big deal, right? Like, that was a smooth blowing of the lead. Yeah, turnovers have always been a problem for the Warriors. That was a big supposed advantage of having Chris Paul this season, is that he would help maintain possession of the ball. But at this point, the Warriors have just taken enough of a step backwards that the fact that they turn the ball over like they do, they just can't make up for it, right? Like, they can't overcome that as a disadvantage. So, yeah, I mean, disappointing for the Warriors to lose yet another game at home as well, to lose it the exact opposite way that you lost the first time. And you're totally right, Tass. That was just a bad gamble by Draymond. If they're planning on fouling when the ball is inbounded, he should have just focused on fouling. I mean, you see the ball drifting over your head. Understandable to want to take a chance at it, but that chance is what sent the game to overtime.
For sure.
I would like to give a loser of the weekend, no surprise here, to the Detroit Pistons, who are 2-20 now. To quote Will Hardy, the Pistons' season is a masterpiece of dog shit. Because holy moly, the Magic punked them on Friday night, 123-91. This is the Pistons' 19th consecutive loss. That's the longest single-season losing streak in franchise history. And it's tied for the 9th longest such streak in NBA history. The NBA record is 26. They're getting close here. Set by the 2010-11 Cavs, matched by the 2013-14 Sixers. 26 games in a row. That's a lot of losses in a row, and they're at 19. Trey, you said it last week, I believe. Their next 7 games now for Detroit. The Pacers, the Sixers, the Bucks, the Hawks, the Jazz, and the Nets. I mean, you're the Detroit Pistons. Nothing looks like an easy win at all anymore. It doesn't matter who you're playing. Maybe it's a Hawks or a Jazz or a Nets, but...
You don't think they're getting the win tonight? Pacers have nothing to play for now, man. Just a boring old regular season game.
Yeah, hey, look, they're going to hope for some sort of Vegas hangover, IST hangover, maybe, but I wouldn't bet on it, no. So, look, hopefully they win one of these in the next 7 games so we don't have them tying it or beating it, because I guess the 8th game, a potential record on the line if they keep losing here, would be against the Nets at home a day after Christmas. Some Christmas gift to give to your fans. We're the worst of all time. But James Edwards III has a great article up on The Athletic today just talking about the idea of, like, yes, they're very bad. A lot of people thought maybe they would be knocking on a play-in, you know, sort of spot. That's not happening. But don't panic trade. Don't get crazy moving off one of your young guys. Because Edwards writes, they have 4 players, the Pistons do, with the age, skills, /athleticism, and cachet to be labeled as all-star upside. Not saying they're all-stars, but the idea that down the line they could be. Cade Cunningham, Jaden Ivey, Ausar Thompson, and Jalen Duren. And those 4 players have played 11 games total together. So again, Edwards' point in the article is, do something, sure. Just don't do something drastic where you potentially trade one of these guys who have barely played together. Now, you could argue, well, you don't believe in Cade Cunningham being that guy. You don't think Ivy is a part of the mix, whatever. But it's an interesting article. I highly recommend you go check it out. Go to theathletic.com/nodunks. Get a subscription. But yeah, it's bad. And this is going to be in play here, I think. We're getting into the 20s, I believe, and then it gets really, really dicey to have that all-time streak. Thoughts?
I think they're going to beat the Pacers tonight.
Wow.
Yeah, I do.
Okay.
And I'm with you. They shouldn't trade any of their young guys, but at least Bojan Bogdanovic is back, so they should trade him.
Yeah.
Absolutely. The old guys that they have, Bojan, Alec Burks, who's playing a lot for some reason, Joe Harris, and those old knees, unfortunately, doesn't look good right now. And Monte Morris, who could come back, even though they have many, many guards. Yeah, I don't feel good about this Pacers win, just because after the game, they said, I know it's not on our schedule as a regular season game, but we want to make up for it. We want to make up for it.
Oh, there's that. Yeah, I'll take the Pacers tonight. But again, my gut says they pull out one of these victories before we get to that record tying 26th loss or 27th to get at their own. the Hawks, the Jazz? The Jazz? I mean, the Jazz.
Yeah, the Jazz are going under the radar as one of the worst teams in the league here. So that should be a competitive one at the very least.
You know, maybe the Sixers take their foot off the gas playing them two in a row here. We'll see, but it's bad. And, well, we can just leave it at that. The Pistons, loser of the weekend. Trey, who you got?
I got the Knicks as a loser of the weekend. They only played once, like all these teams. They lost to the Celtics. They trailed the entire second half. You know, understandable loss, I think, all things considered. Everybody's taking the Celtics in that one. But they're getting a loser here because the Knicks may have gotten Tom Thibodeau'd here. Down 12, 20 seconds remaining. Basically, all the Celtics starters are out. But Randall's on the floor. RJ Barrett's on the floor. And worst of all, Jalen Brunson is on the floor. Stepped on Peyton Pritchard's foot. A weird rolling of the ankle. He just like steps backwards as the ball is getting inbounded. Rolls his left ankle. He's listed as questionable for tonight's game against the Raptors. Tibbs says he's good to go. If you followed Tom Thibodeau's coaching career, he has a notable injury in his past, keeping the players in for way too long. I mean, they will be lucky if they dodge the bullet with regards to Jalen Brunson. Apparently, he went to some Villanova thing where he was honored. And he was walking around okay at that. So that's good. But the bad news is they're definitely going to be without Mitchell Robinson. The Knicks will. He's missing the Toronto game due to his own ankle injury. He said he took a wrong step about a week ago, but it showed up against the Celtics. Bad, bad timing. They play the Raptors at home tonight, then a five-game road trip for New York. They got the Jazz, Suns, Clippers, Lakers, Nets. Kind of in the middle with regards to schedule-wise, but they just gave up 146 points to the Milwaukee Bucks. They gave up 133 to the Celtics. We know the Suns, Clippers, and Lakers are amongst the best teams in the league, so they should likely be able to score on New York as well. And with Mitchell Robinson gone, it's hard to see their defense improving in the next couple of weeks here. So hopefully he is out for a short time. Hopefully they're able to get Jalen Brunson back tonight against the Raptors and he doesn't suffer any kind of additional injury playing on a sore left ankle. But missing two starters when you're having one of your worst weeks of the season, not great.
Yeah, and they've also sort of like from 20 games in here, it's pretty apparent that the Knicks are like a classic tier two team. Like they are not with these elite teams in the Eastern Conference. They seem to lose to them a lot, but they're good enough that they beat all the teams sort of around them or below them, you know, like our Raptors and you know, obviously the Hornets and Pistons they take care of. Like, they can win all those games. It's just like they're, like, right in the middle of their task. It feels like, sort of, once again. And, you know, Knicks fans are not the most patient fans of all time, I believe, even though they've had a lot of losing streaks, or seasons, excuse me, and have had some success recently. But you just wonder, when that continues to happen, does that make you more likely to go try and make a big splash in a deal to get maybe a star to help you compete with those sort of upper echelon teams?
They definitely need a score because the defense has been figured out. They do fantastic on that for Tibbs. They just dial in. That being said, if Mitchell Robinson is out for a long period of time, that's not a good thing.
No,
and he's prone to some injuries over his career.
Yeah.
He has been hurt, but he has been so, so good just getting after it.
Let's go to you again here, Tass. You got another loser?
Yeah, the Warriors head coach Steve Kerr, because he recently said something about the Phoenix Suns DJ, the music being played in there that he despises. He just hates it. Although the Suns DJ, he loved it. So he created a mix of Steve Kerr and his music. We've got it here, JD.
You know what?
In this building, you can't hear anything because it's like a club. It's like a South Beach club. It's just this thumping techno club music. Thumping techno club music. Thumping techno club music. Thumping techno club music.
Wow. A head coach said something about hating techno music. And this guy just said, all right, I'm going to chew that up and play it for you. He hated it. He did say, I'm sorry that I'm talking about techno music this way, but he just hates how loud it was in there. He just complained about it being loud one game. So Suns DJ said, all right, I got this. And he created a mix that's going to get everybody dialed up in there.
Was that their halftime show? Just the old DJ?
Just the old DJ?
Spinning on the
Great
ones
question.
And twos? I mean, it was fine. It was entertaining, but Didn't have really much booked that night, did they? Maybe they're in Phoenix. I don't know. Maybe that was before. I don't think it was before the game, but felt like a halftime show.
Yeah, or at least like we're throwing t-shirts.
Yeah, you know, but it looked almost like too set up for that to me, because they got to be pretty quick with that. But anyway, very funny.
Yeah.
Also a bit of a banger, Steve Kerr on the...
Was that a Benny Benassi satisfaction? I think it was.
Was it?
Yeah, I would have to check in with Sweet Murph Baby number one. He was the biggest Benny Benassi fan I've ever known in my life.
Cool. I remember that song. Yeah, I didn't know who sang it or made it. All right, I have a weekend loser... to a guy named Dustin Doperak of the Indianapolis Star. And here's why that I'm taking a shot at Dustin of the Indy Star. This guy played the ultimate homer card over the weekend because he got a vote in the in-season tournament MVP. And being from Indianapolis, he gave that vote to Tyrese Halliburton in the loss. Now, again, we were told this is for the whole tournament, so fair to Dustin, but... that's a bit of a stretch. I think you got to go LeBron or AD, going undefeated, sort of taking care of business during the final. But he played the homer card. I almost respect it. And, you know, we got the media panel here. We got to at least see how they all voted. But what do you think? You know, we're always called the homers for talking about our raps and bulls. Would you go that far, TK?
I probably would hold it back if I had the word Indy in my outlet name. It's too obvious there. What happened with the fan vote, though?
Yeah, that's hilarious.
I don't understand how that works. I saw that number one, number two, and number three fan votes went to LeBron, but four and five went to Halliburton.
Yeah, what did that... I don't know. Did they do it five times? And they just never told us? How did you even vote for it?
I don't know. Maybe the fans all voted in, so they just kind of weighed it and... the third highest or the three highest went to LeBron somehow.
What?
But then, a million fans vote, and there was enough to vote for the top three for LeBron. The more confusing part to me, I don't care how it came in, is there's five fan votes on that ballot, but there's about 25 media members. So, how much percentage do the fans get to vote for the MVP? Like, if you have so many media
votes.
And
why is there five fan votes? And when were these happening? Like, these were happening after group play and semifinals and finals? These were happening every quarter of this game on Saturday? Like, what?
I imagine it's after the finals, but after the final there, but...
But why were there five? why were three of them to LeBron and two?
It makes sense. There were five because they gave everything to the media members. That's why, I think. Probably, I'm guessing. But who knows?
Okay, well, I don't know. Maybe Hot Dog is right. Maybe they just pick five random fans.
Oh, I hadn't thought of it that way.
Specifically, five fans. We found them, said, who do you think's MVP?
Honestly, that makes more sense, at least on this graphic.
Very representative.
We just found five people, and three of them were wearing Lakers jerseys, and two were wearing Pacers jerseys, and everybody played the homer card like Dustin, I guess. Okay, so just a small loser of the weekend there to Dustin. Anything else? Anyone else?
Nah. I like what Dustin did. Why not?
I mean, it ultimately doesn't matter.
Exactly.
But
an NBA Cup.
We could have been tied between LeBron and AD. You know, we could have had that hypothetical scenario.
Yeah.
And that vote does matter, Tass. Every vote matters. You're always telling me.
Well, back in the day, when you vote for weird ones. When there are weird ones for NBA Rookie of the Year. Like your vote for Andrea Bargnani? Come on. Come on. But Doperak, I like it.
Okay.
Let's not dust Dustin. I think he did all right.
All right. Fair enough. We got to take one more break. But when we come back, I got a bunch of tweets from the in-season tournament to share with you guys. Don't go anywhere.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service that you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Wouldn't you love to travel without the actual, traveling part? For example, I want to go to Lisbon, let's say. I just snap my fingers, I'm there. No driving to the airport, no flight delays, no fools at security who still don't know that, yes, you need to take your laptop out of your bag and place it in the tray. Oh my God, how long have we been doing this? Travel without traveling. I want it both ways, but that's not possible. It is with Mack Weldon, though. Guys tend to think looking sharp means starchy Oxfords and stiff chinos rather than effortless comfort. But this is possible to have it both ways. Mack Weldon makes timeless apparel with modern performance fabrics for guys who want to look and feel sharp without sacrificing comfort. From their light-as-air underwear to innovative anti-odor tees and versatile yet comfortable pants, Mack Weldon has a full range of clothes that never go out of style. I've got it all. I got the Air Knit underwear. I got the Ace Collection sweatpants. I've got the Silver Peak polo. Everything fits perfectly. All I get is compliments. Mack Weldon has figured this stuff out. Because performance fabric usually means clothes that look or feel sort of techy or shiny. Mack Weldon clothes are designed to fit your style and the demands of a busy life. They look like regular clothes, which is good. I want regular clothes, but feel like the latest in modern comfort. They're the go-to choice for guys who want to look great without even trying. Get timeless looks with modern comfort from Mack Weldon. Go to MackWeldon.com and get 20% off your first order with the promo code NODUNKS. That's MackWeldon.com, promo code NODUNKS. Good times were had there on Friday night. A tud, I like that. I'm adding that to the lexicon. We got fortunate actually, JD, because we would have had way too many tuds.
Oh yeah,
if we hadn't got kicked out of the hotel lobby bar.
Yeah,
and shut it down fairly early.
Yeah. Oh, and they were not kidding around. They're like, get out. I'm like, all right. I walked out with my drink, like, into the lobby going, I thought they're not moving rooms. Like, we're leaving. Yeah. Okay, cool.
That was strange, that part.
Yeah.
But in the end, you know, it was probably for the best.
It was good. Yeah. Thank you.
Okay, let's get to Tweet of the Night.
Tweet of the Night. Wow.
Yeah, as promised, I got a few here for you. They're all related to the in-season tournament final there on Saturday night. First one from our guy Network, Jason Concepcion. Funny screen grab from that game. And the caption, "My dentist asking me about work before telling me to open up." And that is NBA referee David Guthrie, a.k.a. Foul Bay himself.
Big Guth.
Yeah, Network loves Foul Bay here, but that is a very, very funny pick and caption. Got to jump over to YouTube to see that one. Good stuff. Let's keep it going here. At CJ0 sharing a video and the caption, "LeBron throwing a hat to AD is the best damn assist of the night." And this was right at the end of the game. Look at this disc golf throw here from LeBron, putting beautiful arc on it and getting it right to AD. It looks amazing.
Right into the wearing pocket.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, man, imagine it went on his head.
He could have done it.
Yeah.
He just didn't try to, I think.
Yeah, yeah. So I woke up thinking about that clip on Sunday morning, and still good. And then final one here, just to cap this off, from the NBA account themselves, "In it to win it, in-season tournament championship game players got a gift of comfort, courtesy of Skims Men's, the official underwear partner of the NBA." When I first read that, I read it as "the official underwear panties of the NBA." But yeah, look at that. Look at that, Tass. That little Skims Men's gift box was waiting for all of the championship game players.
The official underwear partner of the NBA.
That's right.
Is this the first underwear partner of the NBA?
I've never heard. Hanes was with Just MJ, I guess.
Yeah. I've never heard of underwear being partnered with the NBA.
2023, man.
That you know, Silver rocks them.
Yeah.
Genuine jockey. Honestly, I wish that box was for sale. Like the NBA one with the cool flip up mini hoop. I would give that as a Christmas gift.
Yeah, that looks cool.
Like a grab bag. Somebody pops it open. NBA by Skims, what is this?
Yeah.
Oh, it's Adam Silver's underwear.
It would have been so funny if they put Adam Silver's like photo in there rocking the Skims.
You don't think that's him?
Can't see his head. I mean, it could be. I guess it could be. It could be. Yeah. So there it is. A couple tweets from that fun Saturday night. Thanks to everybody that joined us on Playback for all of those in-season tournament games over the last couple of days. We'll be doing more of those for these boring, pointless regular season games.
What are we playing for now? Playoff seeding?
Oh, my God. 13 games on tonight, though. It's a lot of games. So we'll be back tomorrow to break down as many as possible and all of the NBA news that happens between now and then. Hit that like button, subscribe, go to nodunks.com for your No Dunks merch for the holiday season, and podcast listeners, leave us a 5-star rating and review. Would appreciate that. Until tomorrow morning, here from the Classic Factory, Clipper Bros.
You heard it here first. Have a great time. Turn up. Love you guys. Awesome.
Thanks for joining us, and remember, Skims, you just heard it. You want to sell some underwear? Sell those basketball nets. That's a nice little gift. People just put that on their desk at home by their bed. You can just shoot some hoops.
Shoot some underwear.
Oh, put it above your hamper? Shoot your underwear or socks into it? Who's the official sock partner in the NBA? It's not Stance
no,
anymore.
No, it's not Stance.
It was for a second. One season.
Yeah, I don't know. Brace the day, people.